Good morning, everybody. Good to see you here. Take your Bibles, open that passage Monty just read. That's going to be the passage we look at today. Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter. We're going to look at the last half of that chapter, beginning with verse 13. And when I was preparing this message, I was looking at going over into 10, because you could really preach about the first 4 to 5 verses in chapter 10, go right along with it, but I decided that we'll just wait and get it next week, Lord willing, and address it then. But what we're going to look at this morning, the name of the message is The Power of Wisdom. Wisdom is a powerful reality in our life. If you learn to live by wisdom, you can have a very successful life. You understand that? If you teach your children to be wise, they will grow up and they will prosper and they will be greatly benefited by wisdom. It is a good thing. Wisdom is a very good thing. The flip side to it is this. Wisdom is not highly esteemed in our culture. Wisdom is not viewed as something that is good. It's not viewed as something that's attractive. It's not viewed as something that should be promoted. Okay? And what do I mean when I say wisdom? Well, from a Christian perspective, wisdom is the ability for you and me to apply the Word of God to our life and to live for God. God created the heavens and the earth. God created you and me. And He knows exactly what it takes for us to function. Okay? It's like the Bible is our user's manual, if you will, on how we should execute life. And it's like I tell people all the time, if you want to work on a Ford, you best get a Ford manual. It'll tell you exactly how a Ford operates. Don't get a Chevy or GMC manual because that's not for that. And what happens a lot of times in life, we get the devil's manual, or if you will, the manual of the world, and try to figure out how we should live our life. And all of a sudden it doesn't work out. And the reason is that God created us. And God has given us a guideline, His Word, on how we should live our life. And we take God's Word and apply it to our life, we will understand wisdom. Wisdom is a valuable thing. But we're going to look today at how the world views wisdom. Okay? Now, why would we want to do that? Well, because that's the passage we come to. But the other reason that we'd want to do it is because as you bring up your children, as you live your life, as you teach your grandchildren, as you teach those that are in your neighborhood and stuff, as you personally make choices based upon wisdom, it's not going to be in popularity, or it's not going to be a popular view by the world. As a matter of fact, it's going to be disdained by the world. And in many cases, it'll be viewed by the world as being useless, pointless, waste of time, or a bunch of nonsense. And if you don't learn to draw from the Word of God, you will get discouraged. And you will be pressured to try to do things according to the world. And that means as far as raising your children, running your business, finding friends, because that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. How to find friends, how to find a mate, how to do business, how to interact with other people. It gives you biblical wisdom for how to have these associations, okay? Which is 180 degrees out from worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom will lead you astray, okay? So Solomon is going to address that today. He's going to show us how the world views wisdom, and Solomon is the wisest man that ever lived, and he says, I'm going to give you a view from under the sun of what the world thinks of wisdom. And when we see this today, You will sit back and you'll say, you know, I've been tested and I've been tempted to back off on that in my own family and in my own personal life. because I've been pressured by the world. And how does the world usually pressure you? They laugh at you, is what they do. They laugh at you and they mock you. And we don't like to be laughed at. We don't like to be mocked. We want to be accepted, okay? That's a normal. But you got to understand, it's important to be accepted by one that is worthy. And so you want to be accepted by God, okay? And being accepted by God, you may be rejected by the world. So hopefully this word this morning will be a source of encouragement and strength for you. Let's pray, and we'll take a look at it. Lord God, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to teach your word. And Lord, this is truly a privilege. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you, Lord, for bringing them here to hear the word. I pray that you would open our minds and open our hearts to your truth, that you would direct me as I teach, and that you would help me to rightly divide your word of truth and teach it in a way and a manner that is true, that is correct, that is in line with what you intend, but that also allows your Holy Spirit to take the truth and to make personal application in the hearts and lives of people, so that your servants may better live for you and glorify you. And Lord, we pray and ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Solomon's going to give us a little story in 13 through 15. And then what he's going to do, he's going to break out three little principles that come from this story. So basically the message today is going to be a little different than what it usually is. We're going to look at the parable, if you will, and then the lessons from the parable. Let's look at the parable first of all. Look at verses 13 through 15. This wisdom I've also seen under the sun. Now, what does he mean by that? He's saying, as I look at life, independent of God, as I look at life strictly from the horizontal viewpoint, this is the way the world views wisdom. This is the way the world looks at it. And it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares about it. And that word snares literally is the word, it is the word bulwarks, and it means to lay siege to a city is the idea. Impenetrable sieges were, like, what they do is surround a city, you couldn't get away, and they would starve the people out in the city and attack them. Notice some things about this city. It was a little city with few men in it. And a great king came against it. The idea here is the king had the people in the city outnumbered. He was going to devastate them. He was going to plow them under. It was an unfair fight, if you will. Okay? Besieged it, built great snares about it. Now, verse 15. There was found in it a poor wise man. And he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. A poor wise man. What is the importance of a poor wise man? Well, a poor man was not highly sought after. You understand? The world does not esteem the poor. The world does not view the poor as being important. Who does the world view as being important? The rich, right? The rich or the famous. They are who is important. But this poor man, through his wisdom, delivered the city. It says, and by his wisdom, he delivered the city. He outsmarted this powerful king, yet no one remembered that same poor man. In other words, he delivered this entire city, and people forgot about him. They forgot who he was. Now, Solomon's going to draw several principles from this scripture here, because he's going to show you how wisdom is viewed by the world, okay? Join me on this. Let's look at the first one, verse 16. The first principle is this. Wisdom is better than strength. Look with me. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. That's very important when you look at that statement. He says, wisdom is better than strength. Now, what do we mean by strength? Well, by strength, we can mean physical strength. that a person that is strong. But I think what Solomon's trying to bring out here is wisdom is better than strength. And strength means, in a broader sense, the ability to be powerful or to negotiate from a position of authority. Okay? Now, let me explain it to you. We could say that a person is strong based upon who they are. Not based upon their physical strength, but based upon their position is the idea. And I think that's what Solomon's hitting upon, because he's building off the idea of the poor man. The poor man did not have a lot of worldly esteem. He was viewed as being insignificant. He did not offer his wisdom from a position of strength. You follow that? That's what he means by strength. A strong person is a person that is well recognized, well accepted, or is in a position of power. Okay? That is a strong person. When you look at this passage of Scripture, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised. All you got to do is look at our world and realize how true this statement is. I mean, when you view this statement here, you realize something real quick. People in the world that we live in trivialize wisdom and they glorify sin. You believe me on that? I'm telling you, that's the way the world views it right there. They'll look at people that really don't know much of anything, and they'll hold those people as being wise because of their position. And yet you let somebody that doesn't have position do something that's wise, and they'll call them foolish. The world has a way of flipping things around on us, okay? This is the problem. This is the drawback to it. Many people in our society fall for that snare. Example, most people in our society know a whole lot more about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie than they do about Peter and the Apostle Paul. Okay? Now, in the long term, who is going to be more important? Not Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, or the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter? Trust me. When you stand before the great throne on Judgment Day, the Lord's not going to say, "Now, do you think that Brad Pitt left Jennifer Aniston for Angelina Jolie because of her looks or because of her position in society? What is your take?" He's not going to ask you that question. He's not concerned about that stuff. Yet most people in our society can argue more about the National Enquirer and what's on the E! Channel and People Magazine than they can about what is in the epistles of the Bible. Why? Because our society values the position of strength over true wisdom. That's why whenever there's a problem in the world that we live in, who do they run to go talk to? They don't talk to a lot of really wise people, do they? I remember back when the war in Iraq and Afghanistan kind of got started back in 2002, 2003, 2004. My wife and I went on a trip to California. She'd never been to California, and it was our 30th anniversary. So I said, let's run over there and check it out. It wasn't our 30th anniversary. It was, I don't know which one it was. It was like 27th or something. It was right before our 30th, okay? And We went over there, but I remember we were walking. She'd never been to Hollywood, and I said, we'll run down there and take a look at it and stuff. But there was a lot of anti-war stuff going on, okay? And they had these geniuses on military conflict that they were bringing in front of the TV set, Martin Sheen, Sean Penn, for example. And I thought, where did these people get their qualifications in world affairs? Now, understand this, folks. An education does not make a person smart. You understand that? And I'd be a fool to stand up here and say that you need an education to be smart, because you don't. Some of the smartest people I know and wisest people I know don't have much of an education. They understand truth, and they understand how to apply it to life. I can think of one right off the top of my head. I had a granddad that was a wise man. One of the wisest men I ever been around as far as handling money. Just a genius. As he told me, he had all of his book learning at the age of 13. And he said, I shut her down, brother. He said, I shut it down. He said, when I was 13 years old, he said, I had all the book learning I needed, about to bust my brain open. And he said, I left out of school and went to laying brick and worked his way up, was head guy in his area, wherever he was. I mean, he was very well known, very gifted, very wise with money. He didn't have any education at all, man. But he could sit there and figure things out in a heartbeat. He could solve math problems. He could do any of this stuff that it would normally take a person. He knew algebra. He knew geometry. He knew all these things. And he could sit there and lay that stuff out for you. Never been educated in his life. So don't ever think that education makes a person smart. You understand? But whenever they go to interview people, they were talking about how stupid George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney and all these people were. They're a bunch of fools. They're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. Well, some of the people they interviewed, for example, were Ed Asner. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look and see how much education Ed Asner has. Surely he's got a doctor's degree in philosophy or something, or political science. He completed high school. He had a high school degree. Sean Penn, high school degree. Alex Baldwin dropped out of school. Martin Sheen could not pass college entrance exam. Cher Bono dropped out of school in the 9th grade. And then the genius of all, Paris Hilton, flunked out of high school and got her GED. Now, they were quoting these people as sources of authority, as if they were very learned people. Why? Look at your passage. Wisdom is better than strength. See, they were people that were in positions of strength. You understand that? They were in positions where people looked at them and thought, they're in a position of authority, they're in a position of power, they're in a position of prestige, therefore they know what they're talking about. And why do I say that? Because I know other people that have high school degrees and people that dropped out of high school that'll never be interviewed by the national media for their views. Why? Because they don't have a position of strength. You see what I'm talking about? The only reason they're authorities is because many of those people are actors. Oh, an actor is a trained monkey that requotes lines that have been given to them by somebody else. They do not possess an original thought. You understand that? They are simply reciting what has been given to them by somebody else, and that's how they make a living. And they're viewed upon by our society as being the upper element of genius for some reason. Solomon says, wisdom is better than strength. You and I, who deal from a level of very little strength and influence, are far better if we have wisdom and apply it to our life than a person that's in a position of strength. That is a biblical truth. Look at the next part of that passage. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. That's the way the world views true, godly, biblical wisdom. It is despised and it is not heard. Yet what is heard? The chatter of the fool is what is heard. What is really important for our life, folks? Well, Luke 2:52 says this. It says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Stature denotes his physical growth. Wisdom denotes his spiritual growth from the human standpoint. And what did it do with him? It brought him in favor with God and with men. That is the way we're to grow. We're to grow in wisdom so that we'll become in favor with God and with men. Now, how do we do that? Well, I think Ephesians addresses that subject pretty clear. Hold your place right here in Ecclesiastes and go to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. Let's take a look at a passage of Scripture. Ephesians, and look with me if you would at chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and verse 14. Ephesians 3:14 says this. It says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Ephesians 3:14. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That's very important right there. God wants you to grow in the inner man. In other words, what God wants to focus on is for you and me to grow in wisdom. To grow in wisdom. Paul lays out this prayer and he says, my prayer is that you'd be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what God's desire for you and me is, that we grow inwardly. It's more important for you to be strengthened in the inner man than to have a position of strength on the outside. Inner strength is far more favorable than external strength. And yet most of us strive for external strength. We strive to be accepted by people. We strive to be accepted by society. We strive to be accepted by everyone around us. And you know what we need to focus on? How acceptable am I to God? That's really what's important. What I'm saying is, what Solomon is saying is, don't let the world dictate to you what's important. Don't let the world tell you what's important and scoff and mock you when you do what is right. Because if you do, you will become greatly discouraged. Look at the last verse there in that Ephesians passage. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, you're far better off by strengthening that inner man than you are by the external man. Far better. So don't be discouraged by that. Wisdom is a powerful thing. Wisdom is a beneficial thing. And wisdom is gained through internal strengthening of oneself. You may be rejected outwardly, and you may not have a position of strength, but trust me, in the end, if you have wisdom, you're going to be strong in your relationship with God. Let's look at the second principle back in Ecclesiastes. The second principle is this. Verse 17 says, I'll give you time to get there. Ecclesiastes 9:17. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Principle. Wisdom is rarely exalted. wisdom is rarely exalted. Most of what you will hear in the world is the chatter of fools. The world mocks wisdom. For example, what you are listening to this morning is the wisdom of God, as I rightly divide it from the word of truth here. You understand? As I teach you the Bible, what you are hearing is the wisdom of God. And the Holy Spirit will take that wisdom of God and He will apply it to your heart and show you exactly where you are. That's why you can leave out of this path or this service here today, and one person's affected one way, another person's affected another way, another person's affected another way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit can discern the thoughts and intents of our mind, knows exactly where we are, because God is omniscient, and therefore He can take the Word of God and He can apply it to your life. Trust me, I'm not reading your mail. I do not know your personal life, but God the Holy Spirit does. That's what makes teaching the Word of God on a whole different level than a lecture from mankind, because it is the wisdom of God, and the wisdom of God will bring to nothing the wisdom of man. But the world doesn't value wisdom. The world values the chatter of fools. Okay? Let's look at wisdom just for a minute. How we should approach wisdom. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 19 with me. This is how we should approach wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, James 1 and 19, therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Three things there. Number one, keep your ears open to the truth of God. Keep your keep your mouth shut and don't react in anger when you hear the Word of God. Okay? That's one of the negative things about being a preacher, because when you preach the Word of God, people tend to look at me and they say, well, that old fool ain't living it, or he ain't doing this, or I saw him do that. Trust me, folks, I'm no different than you. My position is to teach the truth. And trust me, the truth of God far greater than any man. You understand me? Don't get angry when you hear the truth of God. I don't care if you like me or not, but don't reject the truth, okay? The truth of God is what's important. And that's what James said. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You notice how when we hear the truth, what's our, a lot of times our response? We get mad. We get mad. We respond to it. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. It'll deliver your life is what he's saying. It'll deliver your life from calamity, from failure. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Hear and apply the word of God. Now go back to the book of Ecclesiastes. Words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Now, what is the shout of a ruler of fools? Let's look for a minute in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, 15. Let me read this passage to you. Proverbs 17, 15. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are an abomination to the Lord. What does the world do when they hear wisdom? They call it foolishness. They call it evil. Let me show you a ruler of fools. Put him up there. Now, this is a ruler of fools. right here. Do you know who that is? It's Bill Maher. He is a ruler of fools. That's, if you want to sum up his life, that's what his life is. He's a professing atheist. Actually, he says he's a patheist, is what he says. He's a pragmatic atheist, is what he claims. Big anti-Christian, big God hater, God mocker, but yet his word is highly esteemed by many people. He spouts the view that, and he uses the word religion when referring to Christianity, okay? But he talks about religion being evil and stuff. He's one of the foremost attackers of biblical wisdom in our society today. Go ahead and take him off. People are getting upset stomachs. Leave him, get him off there. But that is typical of a ruler of fools, folks. Very typical. Mocks everything in the Word of God. But yet is viewed by the world as being what? Someone to listen to. Someone that you should follow instruction from. That kind of thing. That, hey, what he's saying is true. Not necessarily. But he attacks it. You know, one of his biggest areas of attack is, and you may or may not like this guy, is Tim Tebow. And you feel how you want to for him, but one thing about Tim Tebow is he doesn't try to force his religion on other people. He lives it out. He lives out his faith in the Lord. And he'll tell you, God doesn't give a rip one way or the other about who wins a football game. He said, all I want to do is give God the glory, and I want to play with all my strength for the Lord because he's the one I'm living for. And I serve him. And yet that agitates fools. Have you noticed how much that agitates a fool? It agitates the fire out of them. And so what do? They shout it down. A quiet word of a wise man is better than the shouting of the ruler of fools. What's the bottom line? It's this, folks. People do not esteem wisdom in our society. They prefer foolishness. Then the last principle is this. Look at the last principle. Verse 18. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. What is that principle right there? Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. It's this. Wisdom can bring you victory when you're overpowered. In other words, what he's saying when he says wisdom is better than weapons of war, what he is saying is this, that even if you have all the weaponry in the world, a wise general can defeat all that. In other words, no matter what you're faced with in life, you're better off utilizing wisdom. But be careful as you utilize wisdom, because if you don't stay on the path of wisdom, one sin can bring everything down. That's what he's saying. That's what that last part of that verse is saying. But one sinner destroys much good. You understand that? Fools destroy things. Foolish thoughts destroy things. Foolish thoughts destroy marriages. Foolish thoughts destroy friendships. Foolish thoughts destroy churches. Foolish thoughts wreck lives. Sin is a destroyer. Sin is a defeater. Sin will bring the strongest person down. And what Solomon is saying is, you make sure that your life is centered on wisdom. Because, folks, you can have all the power in the world, but if you don't have wisdom, all you have is tyranny. If a person does not know how to utilize what they have, it is to their detriment. You think about it, folks. You can spend your whole life building a life of character, and one stupid, sinful, unwise decision in your life can destroy what it's taken a lifetime to build. It's much easier to ruin your life than to build your life. Because one sinner can destroy it all. It doesn't take a lot to bring it down. And so the idea is this. Make sure you stay on the pathway of wisdom. Stay on the pathway of wisdom and avoid the destroyer. Avoid sin that would destroy your life. Folks, you could sit here and you could look at person after person after person whose life has been destroyed by stupid decisions. I can name you marriages that are destroyed, friendships that are destroyed, businesses that are destroyed, churches that are destroyed. All these things are destroyed. Why? Because people make unwise decisions and allow unwise decisions into their life and as a result destroy everything that they have. Wisdom is better than the weapons of war, but one sinner can destroy much good. And the idea is all it takes is for you to walk away from wisdom once and you can bring the whole party down, is the idea. Three principles. Wisdom is better than strength. In other words, you're better off to be a wise person and have a position of influence. Second of all, wisdom is not valued in the world that we live in. And the third principle is, wisdom is better than power. Because wisdom can deliver you, but one sin can bring everything down. Why is this so important to know? Folks, it's so important to know because as you live your life and as you strive to bring your family up, as you strive to live your life in a godly, wise manner, there is unrelenting pressure from the outside to mock and belittle the things of God. And it's only going to get worse. You understand that? It's only going to get worse. And if you're going to be a wise person, and if you're going to overcome that and not succumb to the foolishness of this world, you're going to have to be deeply committed to the things of God. And let me tell you, going the pathway of wisdom is not easy. The pathway of wisdom is tough. The pathway of wisdom is going to be a lot of ridicule and belittling. But in the long run, the pathway of wisdom is the pathway that wins. Pathway of wisdom will come out on top. Be a person of wisdom. Don't walk the pathway of the fool. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, I pray as pastor, I pray for each person that's here that you would encourage them, Father, to value the word of God, to make it a priority, Lord, and to pursue it no matter what the world thinks. That Father, we wouldn't follow the rulers of fools. That we wouldn't seek to be with those that have positions of strength, but that, Father, we would dwell with those that practice wisdom and focus upon wisdom. Though insignificant in this world, in the end, they will be on top. Father, help us to be winners. Help us to be those that finish well and finish with wisdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.